I think some of the biggest arguments that Paul and I have after 41 years of marriage, or during our 41 years of marriage, is over some of the silliest things. And I hear these words quite often. Why don't you make up your mind? Has anybody ever heard that before? For those of you that said you didn't, you are liars. Liars. Because we've all at one time or another heard that. And you know, and it's all about where we're going to eat. And Amy gets so aggravated about this. And now the other night she said, I'm just going to quit. That's just the end of that. I'm just going to quit. Not going to do it at all. So her favorite meals are always Mexican meals, if you want to talk about that. She says, I'm so burnt out because, Lee, I eat Mexican food about 6 times a week. It's not that big of a deal. But the reality is, Paula does say quite often, why don't you make up your mind? And we can go look for furniture. You know what? And then I'll say, Paula, whatever you want. And then she'll say, what do you think about this? I'll say, whatever you want. And then she gets a little aggravated and says, well, you're not participating. You pick it out. Now, this is a true story. And she'll say, you pick it out. And I say, Paula, I don't care. I'm not in there. I've got one little room in that house that I hang out in. It's my office. I don't care. She says, well, then you pick it out. And then I promise you, I'll go up and I'll say, I like this one. Well, I just don't think that's going to match. And then I'll say, well, then how about this over here? It's kind of an earth tone color. I don't like that one either. It looks too dull. It's like the funeral home you work in. So then I'll look back at Paul and say, why don't you make up your mind? And then here we go again. And then we'll finally agree on something on the way home. Yours truly will say, I'm starving. And then the first words that come out of her mouth is, what do you want to eat? And I say, well, what do you want to eat? And then we're back in that same cycle again. So we need to make up our mind on certain things. Do you agree with that? Let me bring this to you as well. I know that that's kind of a silly way to get the lesson started, but I want to kind of share with you that a lot of us sometimes have a tough time making up our mind. But I submit to you today, when it comes to your Christianity, when it comes to your relationship with God, today is the day that you need to make up your mind about what you're going to do. Do you get that? Do we get that together? It is time to make up our mind on what we're going to do in our walk with Christ. Either we are going to be a child of the Most High God, we're going to hold to the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ, or we're going to do what brings us pleasure. We're going to do what the devil himself would set traps for and the things that the world would endorse. It's not up to me. It's not up to God. It's up to you and me individually. Doesn't that make sense? Because we are a people of choice, and we can do exactly what we want to do. Now, do remember this, brothers and sisters. The consequences can be horrible, or the consequences can be great. Does that make sense? If I'm living my life conducive to the Scriptures, and I'm doing what God is calling me to do, and I'm trying the very best to live by what I'm reading and studying in God's holy word, then He promises me, for those who are faithful into and unto death, Revelation 2:10, He tells us that I have a home prepared for you. You remember in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many. Jesus says, if it wasn't, I'd have told you. Isn't that what He said? Isn't that what He said? And then He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I, Jesus, will receive you to myself, that where I am, finish it. There you'll be also. Well, I like that promise. Do you love that promise? Both of y'all love that promise? Do we love that promise? Absolutely. So get excited about God. This is about your salvation and my salvation. So I want to make sure that we're making up our mind and doing what we are to do. The title of our lesson today is Be Not Like the Church at Laodicea. Now, when I walked up, Ashley goes, it looks like the word Laodicea up there. It was capital letters, so it did look like it. And I said, well, I'm a lad on fire, girl. That's all that is. So the reality is, be not like the church of Laodicea. Some people that I've talked to over the many years that the Lord's allowed me to be a minister and working in the funeral homes and so on, the Lord has allowed me opportunities to talk with people that are attempting to go to church. You know what I'm talking about? People that are toying in their relationship with God. People that in their lives, they are playing church. Notice those air quotes? Did you know today that there are people that play church? They go to church perhaps on a Sunday morning. You don't see them again. And then some of those Sunday mornings, they're missing. They might be here physically, but mentally, they're missing. Do you know what I'm talking about? I got people in my own family that do that. You got friends that do that. You got people in your family that does that. We got church families that do that. Do we understand what we're getting at? So sadly, there are people in our world today that's playing church, and the Bible does not tolerate that. The Bible does not make concessions. The Bible does not lend itself to say you can live any old way you want to live, you can do anything you want to do, and don't worry about it, because on judgment, I'm such a good God, I'm such a graceful God, I'm such a merciful God, I'll just accept you anyway. No, sir. That's not what the Bible says. Matthew 7:21, the Bible says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who, thank you, does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So I asked you a question today, and as I asked myself that, whose side are we on? What side are we on? And be not like the church at Laodicea. In the book of Matthew, this is where you need to tag in and go with me, because I will be engaging you in the reading today, just so you'll know that. Imagine that, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Are you guys ready, guys and girls? All right, so we're being told in this Bible, make sure that we understand that, that we must choose this day. Now, okay, I know that there was a great prophet that it said that as well. Choose you this day who you're going to serve, but for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. So there was a question that was asked there by that great prophet. But also Jesus himself, as he was sitting there on the Mount of Olives, as he was there on the Sermon on the Mount, so to speak, that's kind of what the Bible says, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 24, Stephen, do you remember what he told them? He said, talking to his disciples, talking to me and you, he says, how many can serve two masters? I don't think the congregation's getting this. Go back to verse 24. How many can serve two masters? Now you're getting it. For either he will hate the one and, or else he'll be loyal to the one and. Now I want you to notice this next part with me. If you don't go with me, I promise you it's going to be a long lesson. If you go with me, I'll get you out in a little bit. The Bible says, go. You cannot serve God and mammon. Who said that? Okay, so it's written in what color ink? Mm-hmm. And that implies to us that it's the Lord, right? So the Lord is telling you, not the preacher, not a deacon, not an elder, not a song leader, nobody else. The Lord is saying, you cannot serve both God and mammon. So with that being said, Ashley, that means that you and I, we got to make up our mind, doesn't it? I can't play church, Larry, and you can't either. Darlene, we can't do that. We've got to make up our mind, Teresa, on what we're going to do. Either we're going to be all for God and in his church and added to his body, Acts 20, verse 7, or I'm just going to live any way I want to live, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, as long as I've got that feel-good religion going in my heart. My religion don't always feel good. My Christianity doesn't always feel good. And for someone to stand there and tell you, oh, the Christian life is perfect, I'd like to know where they're getting it. Because my Christian life, I'm going to have a perfect reward, amen? But my life sometimes is very difficult. Why? Because it involves several things. It means, number one, what Jesus told his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, before that, let him deny himself, take up his cross, how often? And then do what? And then follow me. Well, let me tell you something, Jerry. That's hard for me. You know why? Because I'm by nature a selfish person. I am. I want it for me. Anybody else like that? Y'all liars. I want it for me. Do you think that sometimes we have an I disease? I think so. We see it throughout the Bible. And we're like some of those people in the Bible. But I submit to you today, brothers and sisters, that we got to get it right. We need to make sure that we are not like the church at Laodicea. And I'm about to show you that here in just a second. For those of you that have your Bibles with you or that machine that you carry or whatever, go to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Say found when you're there. All right, let's go. So watch what's happening here. This is the church at Laodicea. Did you notice the word I used? This is the, starts with a C, church at Laodicea. Now watch what's happening here, Brother Larry. It's important that we capture this together because this is a church that was being a little bit lukewarm. What do you think the word lukewarm means? That means riding the what? Riding the fence, not doing what we're supposed to do. That means playing church. Can you say that with me? Playing church. So let's watch what's happening here. In Revelation 3, 14 through 16, the Bible says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of who? Watch what he says in verse 15. Everybody ready? I know your that you are neither cold nor, I could wish that you were cold or, so then because you are lukewarm. Now remember, this is the Lord speaking. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, this is what he says. The Lord says, I will what? Out of my mouth. That means what? I am going to reject you. What does that mean? I am putting you out. I am spewing you out. You are done. Amen? So why is he telling the church that? Please, Lord, you're telling the church at Laodicea, a church that's been established. What's going on here? That what that's telling us is God will not tolerate spiritual adultery. Do we get that? You're not going to say we're in a covenant relationship with God and then go play with the earth. Amen? You're not going to sit and tell our Heavenly Father, God, I love you, and I've been baptized into the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and I study my Bible, and I do this, and I do that, and I give my tithes, or if you want to call it tithes, I do this, I do that, and then you go out and live any way you want to live. That's spiritual adultery, brothers and sisters. Amen? He didn't allow it with Adam and Eve. He didn't allow it when Cain killed Abel. He didn't allow it when the boy ended up going a different direction and got caught up in the belly of that great fish. Did he allow it then? Did he allow it when Judas came up and did what he did? No, he didn't. Why do you think? Why is it people in our society today has a tendency to think that we can get by with it? With the right attitude, we wouldn't want to get by with it. Amen? Because we are here because God loves us and we've been added to the body of Christ, because we're not here today to play church. Is that okay with everybody? It appears that the church of Laodicea, I think there may have been some good folks in there, but they had not made evidently a firm commitment. It appeared that they were riding the fence, so to speak, and the Lord made it very clear that it was absolutely unacceptable, and it was high time for that church to make up their mind. I hope and pray today at James Avenue Church of Christ, and I feel confident that we're not. But as we look into our own lives and take our own spiritual inventory, I hope that we're not acting like the church at Laodicea. Be not like the church at Laodicea. Will you say that with me? Be not like the church at Laodicea. Folks, have you thought about that, seriously speaking? Which side you're on today? Whose side you're on today? Not just telling yourself or convincing yourself something to make you feel good or sleep better, but looking at your own life, am I Jerry Ladd acting like the church at Laodicea? Am I just playing church? Do I get up on Sunday morning because this is kind of a routine? Do I just go to the church because that's what we do? Or am I really going to worship? Amen? Do I walk through the door and say, what are they going to give me today? What are they going to be able to do for me today? What's the preacher going to say to me today? What am I going to get when I walk out of here today? What are they going to do? Are the members going to be nice? I didn't come here to be served. I come here to serve. Amen? I did not come here to see what God can give me, because I already see what God's given me. I come to see what I can give God. And I want to do what the Bible says in John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. That's why we should be here. The first point I want us to examine this morning, as we talk about and consider the title of our lesson, be not like the church at Laodicea, here it is. Listen, whatever side you choose, Paul says that's not correct grammar, whichever side you choose, your commitment must be clear. Does that sound fair? Your commitment needs to be and must be clear. Why? Because believe it or not, brothers and sisters, you are also responsible for the souls of others. That's why Jesus says what he did daily over in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what, Daniel? Good works, glorifying your which is in heaven. So do you think that was only given to a select few? You think that was given to me and Lee only? No, you're crazy if you think that. That was given to everybody, amen? Y'all don't believe me, do you? Amen? All right, so I want to make sure that we're together with that. Don't leave here saying Jerry said. You're going to leave here saying God said. Amen? Because I'm giving it to you from the Scripture. Do not take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Are we together? So let's make sure we understand that our commitment needs to be clear. It's very simple. If you have chosen Christ Jesus, if you have chosen the wonderful, great life of Christianity, then your actions should be Christ-like, and Christ should be your motive for doing everything. Amen? It reminds me of the song. I don't know, I've never heard it sung here, but there was a Milton Stevens used to sing this song quite often. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, you do it all in the name of the Lord. Jerry, you ever heard that song? Whatever you do in word or deed is a great song. And so that particular song right there, you know, reminds me of what we're talking about. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's hard to do, isn't it? For me, it's hard to do. Some people are in a controlled environment, but I'm not. I'm not making excuses. I do really well here. I really do. I do good here at 613 James Avenue. But you know what? When I'm out at that funeral home and I got a 350-pound person laying on an embalming table, sometimes my language isn't what it needs to be. When somebody comes in and they want a $4,000 casket and they want it for $699, you know what? Sometimes I'm just not really mindset where I need to be. But then I have to think, go, wait a minute, Jerry. You love God. God loves you. Get out of that mindset. Get into God's set. Amen? So it's hard. It's difficult. And I don't know. Maybe you're not one that struggles with it, but I do. You know, I'm immature. I've told you that. I'm the most immature person you'll ever meet in your entire life. But I'll also tell you, I love God more than anything in all of the world. And I want to do the right thing. That's why I petition this congregation. Pray for me every single day in every single way because I need it. I do good here, but I don't do so well out there. Now, there's some weeks are better than others. Some months are better than others. But I still fall short. But I'm making sure that my commitment is clear to God, that I am all about His church and not the church of Laodicea. Amen? All right, good. I'm glad we're together. I like what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 17, the Bible says, in whatever you, in word or do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible doesn't stop there. The Bible says, giving thanks to God the Father through who's the Him? Very good. Through Jesus Christ. So if you have chosen the Christian life today, make sure it's clear. Your decision needs to be very evident, doesn't it? One of the things that makes it evident would be your involvement in God's Word. Stop taking man's word for your salvation. Amen? Let's do what Paul told young Timothy to do. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, but rightly what? Dividing God's word. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So do you agree today that if we have chosen God, we have chosen the church that was established on the day of Pentecost, that we will be involved in studying His word and not mankind's stuff? All four of you, they agree. I like that. Lee kind of agreed. Like, I don't know about this, Jerry. All right, so the reality is we need to be studying, yes or no? If you're a Christian and you're on the Lord's side, then your actions of studying the Word of God will be evident. Well, how do you know it's going to be evident, Jerry? I study in my office at home. You don't know that. Nobody else knows that. Bobby don't know that, but God knows it. And let me tell you something else. If you're really studying the Word of God, you know how it's going to be evident? Because your life's going to change, isn't it? You're going to quit living the way that we're living, and you're going to start living the way God tells us to live. Amen? That's how we know that we're studying the Word of God. I know, and I've said it before, when I came here, I told Larry and the brethren here, I said, man, I'm in the SICU unit. I'm in a spiritual intensive care unit. Now I've been moved up to a regular floor, but we still got a long way to go. I'm not where I used to be. Amen? I'm not where I need to be, but again, I say, thank God I'm not back in that spot again. So we need to every single day be trying to grow closer. Repentance is rough, isn't it? This side of sleep. Repentance is rough on this side of the building, amen? All right, thank you, Lee. Lee, like, I want to get this guy to finish here, man, because he's already told us it's going to be a while. All right, so Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Okay, then, I don't want to die spiritually. Because I want to do what God's calling us to do. So let's make sure that we study God's word and apply those teachings in our life. Let's rightly divide the word of truth. So how about prayer? Would that be an indicator of us changing? Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, big passage of scripture. Bobby, what's it say in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Boom, pray without ceasing. That means don't stop. That means be steadfast. That means continue in those efforts of praying to God. Amen? Do you understand that praying to the Lord opens up those heavenly blessings? Do you get that? Every single time that we go to the Lord in prayer, we're calling upon God again, aren't we? God, here I am. God, I love you. God, I'm asking for forgiveness. God, I'm also asking for opportunities to serve you even in a bigger and better way. Let me know what I can do for you. Every time we pray to our Heavenly Father, I promise you, heavenly blessings are coming down. Do you get that? So let's make sure we're involved in our prayer. Also, attendance. If you are a Christian and you're not acting like the church at Laodicea, then attendance is going to be priority in your life. Do you agree with that? People often tell me, why is it these preachers never shut up about attendance? Because the members haven't got there yet. If the building is full and we have all the folding chairs out and we're out in the parking lot, we got speakers everywhere, I'll never bring that passage up again for at least 2 weeks. How's that? But we're not there yet. But the Bible tells us, the Hebrew writer says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So you understand and you see that if we've chosen the Lord and we're not being like the church at Laodicea, then you're not going to have to be begged and pleaded with to attend the services. Amen? All right. What about the golden rule? In Woodbine, where I live, we have a golden rule. Do unto others before they do unto you. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Perhaps I may have missed that up a little bit. If Harvey was here, he'd be going, nope, that ain't it, Jerry. And so the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Yes or no? Faithfulness, being faithful unto God in good times and bad times. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. You're going to be thrown into prison. That doesn't mean literal prison. The Bible says, gives a symbolic number, says you'll be thrown into prison for 10 days. That doesn't really mean prison for 10 days. That means you're going to be going through some trials for a period of time. We'll look at the latter part of Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will what? Who's the I there? Who's speaking? Very good. So the promise, Darlene, is that Jesus is going to take care of us. Amen? But we have to be clear in our commitment. I know that many times we make the confession that we're on the Lord's side, but sadly the environment and the atmosphere that we're in can change that. Do you agree with that? There was a guy in the Bible, and several years ago, his name was Peter. I want you to think about this. You and Daniel need to think about that. When next time you're eating, you think about this. His name was Peter. Jesus had just announced that he's going to be leaving. Jesus had talked about the fact that he's going to be betrayed. And does anybody in this building remember what Peter said? He said, I will never deny you, or what did you say? I won't betray you. I won't deny you. Even if I have to, say it like you mean it, even if I have to die, I will not betray you. I think, and I'm convinced, that he meant what he said at that time. What do y'all think? I do, because he was very bold in what he was saying. He's like, you know what, Lord, no. And I mean, he was kind of arguing with Jesus. And he says, you know what, even if I have to die, I will not be made to deny you. I'm not going to do it. He made a firm commitment at that point, didn't he? But then when Jesus was arrested, and he was out, if I remember, kind of out by the praetorium, somebody came through. He saw what Jesus was going through, didn't he? He saw that he had been drug in. He saw that he was being put on this trial. He saw the negative things that was happening, the horrible things that was going on. So all of a sudden, his environment had changed. Now here comes somebody coming through and says, hey, I'm going to paraphrase this. This isn't really exactly the way it went. But he said, hey, dude, I know you. I think you were with Jesus. And what did he say? She put the O in front of that. Did y'all catch that? Not just no, I wasn't. Oh, no, I wasn't. And then she even did her head like this. Uh-uh. I was waiting on your right hand to come up. And so Peter denied Jesus, didn't he, Jerry? Now, then somebody else came through and said, hey, excuse me a minute, I think you were with him. And what did he say again? Mm-mm. And then a young lady come through there, and she looked at him, and she goes, hey, you talk like he talks. Your speech is kind of betraying you a little bit there, brother, but I think you're with Jesus. And you remember what happened at that point? He didn't just say, no, I'm not. He began to what? Curse and swear, the Bible says. Daniel Ladd back there nailing it. Good girl. He began to swear and curse, and then he made that bold, not confession, but profession. I do not know this man. You see how he disowned Jesus right then? Do you see how he put Jesus off right there? Now, wait a minute. While ago, Peter, you said that you would die with him and for him. And now, all of a sudden, because your environment changed, now you're denying. How many of us are just like Peter? We're okay here at 613 James Avenue. We're okay at 3600 Hewlett Drive where I live. I'm okay on the way to work when I can listen to my gospel songs. But when I get out, I walk in, and they're on that embalming table. It's a great big one. What then and how then do I react? If somebody's coming in the door and they want, as I said, you know, they want a $10,000 casket for $119. Go to Walmart. I mean, I shouldn't have said that. But how then do I react? We've got to make up our mind, amen, to do the right thing, to do it the right way, and to live for Jesus Christ. Don't be like the church at Ooh, I'm so glad y'all said that. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, down in verse 12. We all need to be careful that we don't think we stand high lest we fall, because Paul told the church at Corinth that. You know, because we can sit back at Peter and we can point fingers at him all we want to, Teresa, and say, you know what, he shouldn't have done that. I don't know why he did that. He's already said that he would, you know, was going to stick with him, and all of a sudden he folded like that. Well, I would have never folded like that. Yes, you would have, and so would I. There's a, because you know how I know that? Not without judging you and without you judging me, because we do it every day. Every day when we're in traffic, every day when we have all these people that you're driving along, you're trying to do the right thing, you're doing, you know, you're trying to abide close to the speed limit as you can because you got these maniacs behind you, in front of you, going beside you, and then you let somebody over, you think they're going to thank you, and then they, you know, shine you a bird or something for doing that. I'm like, man, that's why you're supposed to carry high-powered pellet guns, bust their taillights out. Probably shouldn't have said that part. The reality is we've got, our trials are out there. Do you agree with that? But let's make our commitment clear. That's what I want to drive home. Sometimes we can condemn other people for what they're going through or what they're doing or what their actions are, but you need to remember, and I need to remember this, dude. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. If you and I together think that we're all of that, then we're nothing. Do you understand? Because the Bible says he who exalts himself will be abased, but he who abases himself will be exalted. Does that make sense? Okay. Y'all ready for your next point? Somebody said, yeah, please. All right, I'll get y'all back. All right, there's a couple of things that I'm going to share with you as we get to the next point. There's a rich young ruler over in the book of Luke. Is it okay with everybody if we speed it up? Let me tie this up before I give you your next point. Is that okay with everybody? Good. Y'all being really nice. That bothers me. Luke 18, 18 through 23. Go with me. Luke 18, 18 through 23. I want us to see something in here that even sometimes people that go through the outward acts of religion, the outward acts of walking in Christ, still may not be walking in Christ. And that's something we really got to consider. Luke 18, 18 through 23, and I think it'll help us. The Bible says, now a certain ruler came to, or asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do that I... So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is, come on, you know the commandment. Do not commit adultery, don't murder, do not steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father, and who else? And he said, all these things I've even kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, is that what the Bible says? So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing, sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and what? Come on and follow me. So right here is the invitation being extended to him, yes or no? But when he, that rich boy, heard that, listen, he became very sorrowful. Why did he become very sorrowful? The Bible says he was very what? Now, let's clear that up. Let's use good grammar. Ain't nothing wrong with being rich. Ain't nothing wrong with having a pocket full of money. Amen? As long as that hasn't become your God, small g. As long as you're doing with that money what God's blessed you with and you are to bless others. Amen? If we're just going to take and hold on to it, it reminds us of the rich farmer, doesn't it? You remember? He was blessed plentifully. His yield, he had these fields and he yielded plentifully. And then he got so wealthy, he says, well, I don't even know what to do with these barns anymore. I tell you what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build new ones. I'll build bigger ones. I'll put air conditioning, central heat and air. I'll have, maybe that part wasn't in there. But he said, I'll build bigger barns. And he did all these things. And I'm just going to eat, drink. I'm going to take it easy. Eat, drink, and be what? Anybody remember the word? Thank you, Teresa. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. You remember how the Lord referred to him? He said, thou fool. Thou fool tonight, boy. Your soul is going to be required of you. Then whose of these things be which you provided? I love the way the Lord handed it back to him. You said you provided it. Whose of these things be which you provided? So we need to be very clear. Amen? When you do what God's calling us to do, don't put all of our dependence on capital gain. Don't put all of our dependence, and don't let things of the world become our God's small g. Are we in agreement with that so far? Okay. And we could go on. There's another one example that you can look at in Luke chapter 10, 30 through 36. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to do it real quick. Luke chapter 10, 30 through 36. Jesus answered and said, a certain, watch this, man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst some what? What'd they do to him? What else they do to him? And they left him what? Now by chance, here, now I want you to watch this 31. Go with me. Now you watch this closely. Now by chance, here comes a preacher. You see that? Here comes a certain priest. Came down that road, and when he saw him, what did the preacher do? He passed by on the other side. Well, thank you, Reverend. Thank you, preacher. Thank you, pastor, whatever you want to call that, because he wasn't a minister of God, was he? Because a minister of God, it would have been evident. He would have stopped and helped him, wouldn't he? Okay, that's why I said that. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came, he looked upon him. And what did he do? But Lee, it says that he came up on him and looked at him, and then what did he do? Now, he looked at this dude, and then he saw that he was in need, but what did he do? Now, he went on the other side of the road. He walked away, didn't he? That's kind of what we do in our day, isn't it? We see needs, and we walk away. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, guess what he had all over him? Went, and then he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on him. He set him on his own animal, which means he had to walk. Isn't that right? That's what it looked like. Brought him to an inn to take care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 12. Was that 12 denarii? Oh, okay. Thank y'all. Gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will come again and I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Well, it become obvious. The Samaritan, isn't that right? The preacher didn't do his job. The Levite did not do his job. But here comes a Samaritan, one that you wouldn't have think would have helped this guy, is the very one that stepped up. When we choose Jesus, and we choose his church, and he has already chosen us because he gave his son for us, our walk in life is going to be evident, just like that Samaritan. Amen? We're not going to walk away. We're not going to go on the other side. We're not going to avoid it. We're going to do what God is calling us to do. And there's a plethora of things that we could cover with that. But let me get you this next one, then we got to go. All right, here's our next point. Second round is this. We need to be reminded that God has a huge investment in us, doesn't he? God has a huge investment in us. We talk about what are the greatest investments that can be given, and we often hear the purchase of a home. Or in lead business too, a purchase of a vehicle. You know, all of these things, you know, those are big purchases. But I want you to think with me very quickly about the investment God has given. He gave his only begotten son for you and me. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53 shows what the Son of the Most High God went through. It just gives you a little glimpse of what Jesus went through for you and me because of sin. Not his sin, but because of my sin. Isn't that about right? Isaiah 7:14 shows the investment in you and me. The scripture says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name, translated, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. And then I think about Matthew 1:21-23. She'll bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. Here's what I love, guys and girls. He will save his people from the what? He's going to save us from our sins. So this was done which might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with a child, bear a son. He shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So I just want to make sure that you and I both know that there's a huge investment given for your spiritual liberties, for your freedom, and for mine. The third and final point today, and we'll be leaving. This lesson will go home with you. We're down to this. You ready? It's time to make a decision. It really is. It's time to make a decision. And I'm talking to the Christian and the non-Christian. For the Christian, the one that has already come forth, the one that has already been baptized for the forgiveness of sins, the one that has already made that confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he was murdered on that cross. I believe he was buried. I believe on the third day he was resurrected from the dead and now sits and ascended and now sits at the right hand of the Father. I believe that. That's my confession. Upon that confession, I was baptized, that confession of faith. And then I'm repenting of my sins. This is a lifelong process. Repenting of my sins. I believe in God. And I've heard the word of God. So with all of that, it moved me because it created that desire. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. You missed the word. Take up his cross daily and follow me. So that shows that there has to be an everyday commitment, doesn't it? Am I being mean this morning? Just a little bit. Poquito, as they would say. But just a little bit am I being mean, because I want to make sure that we get it. Christianity's not at a convenient season. It's every season. Amen? Paul told Timothy, be ready in season, out of season. Do you remember what else he told him? He said, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Brothers and sisters, that's all of us. We need to do that. So we need to make a decision today. For those of you that are not Christians, for those of you that have never been baptized, for those of you that have never put Christ on, I love you in the light of the Scriptures. God loves you. He showed us that in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, you and me together, we might be saved. Do you see the love that he's shown us? So if you're not a Christian, what in the world are you waiting on? You don't answer to me. You don't answer to your mom and your dad, not in a spiritual sense. You answer to God. And I hope and pray today that you understand the seriousness of making sure that your life is right with Jesus Christ. So it's time to make that decision. I'm going to hand you these couple passages and then we're out of here. The book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, it is appointed once for man to die, but after this, the judgment. Two promises in one passage. Number one, got great news for everybody. We're going to die. You know that? No matter what. Drink all the geritol you want. Drink all the Diet Pepsis and the Diet Cokes you want so you won't get all this right here. Tracy, you should be laughing that hard. But the reality, we're still going to die, aren't we? And then we're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to, all right, and then 2 Corinthians 5:10 reiterates, not that Hebrews 9:27 needed reinforcement, but the Bible says, for we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad. Okay, so with that in mind, we need to ask ourselves the question, which side am I on today? Am I on the Lord's side or the enemy's side? Am I on God's side or Satan's side? And only you can truly answer that question. In the book of James chapter 4, if you look at verses 13, and I think it's 13 through something, the Bible talks about our life being like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then the Bible says it vanishes away. Amen? So as we close our lesson this very moment, Matthew 25, verse 46, the Bible says, these go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So who do you choose this day? If you're not a Christian, I hope and pray you become one. I've given you everything I've told you. Do you agree today, congregation, that I've given it to you by Scripture? Okay. And so today, if you're not a Christian, please let me encourage you to become one. We're ready to help you to become a Christian. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, live faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe today you're already a Christian. You've went through those steps, but you know that you have fallen away. You know that you've not been doing right. You've been acting like your preacher sometime. You need to get that straightened out. That's why, once again, I ask you to pray for me next week and the following week and the following week. Don't ever stop. I want to strive for perfection. Amen? But maybe today is the day of restoration. You're wanting to be restored. You're wanting to know that, hey, things are right in my relationship with God. If you have that need, let us know. If you have any need at all, you're welcome to come right now as together we stand.